And I'd like to begin at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. So open your Bibles there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 1. The passage starts, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as a brother, or as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas?" And so on. Let's have a word of prayer as we continue our study this morning. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for the time to look into your word this morning, and we do pray for insight and wisdom as we do so, especially as we now see how the Apostle Paul deals with this great discussion and these great questions that still rage around today, and that is the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, once again, it's important that you remember when you are at the second part of the book of 1 Corinthians that Paul is answering a series of questions that the Corinthians had written to him about. We already have taken note of this on several occasions. Back in chapter 7, verse 1, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me," so beginning at chapter 7 and then really all the way to the end of the book, Paul is addressing issues that they had written to him about. And as is obvious from chapter 9 and verse 1, chapter 9 and verse 1, the question has to do with his apostleship. You can see, based upon what he says at verse 1, "Am I not an apostle?" Verse 3, "Mine answer to them that do examine me." There were those at Corinth, not just in the city of Corinth in general, but frankly, in particular in the local assembly at Corinth among the believers, that were making light of Paul's apostleship, that were questioning his apostleship, that were belittling his apostleship, that were suggesting that Paul was not an apostle at all. After all, he was not one of the 12, so where does he get his authority from? Now, there are several things that you need to keep in mind about this as we proceed, and that is that this same questioning, this same belittling, this same doubting, this same idea of making light of Paul's apostleship, it's still with us today, just in case you haven't noticed, okay? It's still with us today. People, when they view Paul's apostleship today, at best, they just kind of view him as a secondary apostle. So it's like you have the 12 apostles, and then somewhere below the 12 is the Apostle Paul. So even though, oh yeah, he's kind of an apostle, but most of the time when you hear people talking about Paul's apostleship or referring to Paul's epistles, they really use Paul's epistles just kind of as a backup. They take their primary doctrine from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as though that is the information for the believer today. And just occasionally they'll go over to the Apostle Paul and pull out a few verses of Scripture and to support what they think that they're reading there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So to this day, Paul's apostleship is still highly suspect among Christian people. It is belittled among Christian people. It is really not seen for what it actually is. So from Paul's day until this day, his apostleship is still under attack. And because it is under attack, because it has been belittled in the minds of Christian people down through the years and so forth, therefore people have really failed to see and appreciate the unique distinctiveness of the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. That being the case, and hence failing to divide the word of truth, that's why you have so much confusion in Christianity about, well, what is the Bible about anyway? And so what we want to do is we want to go down through this passage here and deal, of course, and obviously with the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. Let's look at some highlights from this chapter first so we can see what it is that those who were objecting to Paul's apostleship were actually stating. First of all, notice again verse 1, am I not an apostle? So his question obviously is addressing their question. Some were saying he's not an apostle at all. Since he was not one of the 12 apostles, therefore he is not an apostle. Therefore, who does he think he is? Where does he get his authority from? That type of thing. So Paul starts off, am I not an apostle? Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, mine answer to them that do... See that word, examine me? That word, examine, that's the idea of a full-on interrogation. I mean, it's like taking the criminal and sitting them in the room and putting all these bright lights on him, and you know, he's sweating and he can't drink and nothing like, and you got all this intense questioning going on him. Well, that's the idea of there. You got an intense interrogation going on. And he says at verse 3, mine answer to them that do examine me is if there were those at Corinth that were putting Paul's ministry under the spotlight of their doubtful scrutiny for the exact purpose of concluding that Paul was not an apostle, or if he was apostle, he was certainly a lesser apostle than Peter and the others. And you can see that they were just examining his actions, his activity, his conduct, everything that he said and did for the purpose of belittling and detracting from his unique apostleship. If you look at, by implication, you can see at verse 4, he says, have we not power to eat, to drink? Have we not power to... All these things that the Apostle Paul says, have we not power to do? These things, well, those that were examining him were using those things against him. And we'll see that as we go down through the passage here. Even though Paul had a right to be supported by the various ministries, and in particular this ministry here, since he's writing to the Corinthians and so forth, even though Paul had every right, God-ordained right, to be provided for, taken care of by the Corinthians, look at verse 14, 1 Corinthians 9:14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Even though Paul had a right to be taken care of, you know, food, shelter, clothing, financial support from the Corinthians, he says at verse 15, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory void. Paul, on purpose, did not take support from the Corinthians. The purpose, the reason he didn't take support from the Corinthians, is so as to silence those who would accuse him of saying that he was in the ministry just for financial gain. And that way it took that accusation off the table. And yet they found reasons to blame him anyway. One of the reasons was, one of the things that they were saying is, well, since Paul didn't take support of the Corinthians, then Paul doesn't really love you, Corinthians. You know, it's the old saying, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If Paul would have taken support, then his detractors would have said, hey, Paul's just in this for money. Since Paul didn't take support, they said, hey, Paul doesn't really care about your welfare and your love and everything because he wouldn't take any support from you. So it's like either way, they wanted to find fault with his ministry. And you got to remember that this was just not a reference to people out there just trying to find fault with Paul's ministry just randomly. This was obviously and clearly a satanic attack against the unique apostleship and message of the apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. That's exactly what it was. If these detractors can get the Corinthians, turn the Corinthians away from Paul's apostleship, they can turn the Corinthians away from Paul's message, and by turning the Corinthians away from Paul's message, they will just continue and remain in their spiritual confusion, and hence become in the battle prisoners of wars, missing in action, and have no impact, or at least at best very limited impact for the gospel of the grace of God. And so what the Apostle Paul is doing here, he's not only answering their question, but he's really getting to the heart of his decision-making process as to why he didn't take support when he was here at Corinth, And also he does that for the exact purpose of exposing the heart motivation of those that were attacking his apostleship and questioning his apostleship. Okay? So let's start again at chapter 9 and verse 1. He says, "Am I not an apostle?" Well, what's the answer to that? The answer is, of course, yes. And not just any apostle. If you will look at Romans chapter 11, look at Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11, and notice at verse 13. Romans 11 and verse 13. You need to have this verse written down next to that verse. When the Apostle Paul says, "Am I not an apostle?" Well, certainly he is an apostle. If you'll look over to Romans chapter number 11, notice in verse 13. He says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Paul is not just an apostle in the sense of any old apostle, any guy just coming down the street that they decided to put holy hands on and so forth. Rather, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Verse 13 of Romans 11. "For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office," and so on. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he returned from heaven's glory, there, as recorded in Acts chapter 9, when Saul is on the road to Damascus and so forth, when the Lord Jesus Christ came back and reveals himself to Saul of Tarsus and changes his name to Paul and so on, he is the one that appointed Saul to become Paul, and as Paul to be the apostle of the Gentiles. So Paul certainly is an apostle, but he's not one of the 12 apostles. If you'll go back with me, if you would, for example, we're going to come back to Romans 11 just a moment, but go over to Matthew chapter number 10. Go over to Matthew chapter number 10, verse 2. Matthew 10, verse 2. "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these." This is Matthew 10 and verse 2. "Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lubius, whose name was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." And then verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth," and so on. There's the list of the 12 apostles, at least preliminary. You of course know Judas fell by transgression. We're going to look at a replacement for him in just a moment, all right? But there's the list of the 12. When you read the list in Luke and Mark, most of the names are the same. There are actually two names that are different, but they're just different names for the same people. But none of the lists of the 12 apostles that you see anywhere in the entire New Testament, none of the lists include Saul of Tarsus or Paul. None of them do. Paul is not one of the 12 apostles. Sometimes you will hear people say that, well, Paul was supposed to have been the 12th. He was supposed to have taken the place of Judas, who fell by transgression. If you come with me over to the book of Acts, chapter number 1, and then look over to Acts, chapter number 1, and then look back at 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. I want you to see it's fairly commonly taught in Christianity. Look over to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Let's run some references real quick, and then we're going to compare this with Acts 1. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 1, 1. "Paul called to be," there it is, "an apostle of Jesus Christ." Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 1, 1. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 1, 1. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. He says, "Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. See that? Now go to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Look over to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle, now watch the parentheses, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, I trust you're getting the point here. When you read almost every one of Paul's epistles, not all of them, but almost every one of Paul's epistles, when he starts his epistle, he identifies himself as Paul, an apostle. He begins Romans a little bit different. The very first verse, he calls himself a servant, but later on, he obviously says he's an apostle and so forth. But in every single one of Paul's epistles, you can certainly see him identify himself in one way or another that he is indeed an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, the one in Galatians, I want you to notice here. He says, Paul, an apostle, now notice the parentheses, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, it is often taught in Christianity that Paul was supposed to have been the 12th apostle. That when the 12 apostles were choosing a replacement for Judas, here's what we are told in a lot of commentaries and a lot of speakers and so forth. They say that the 12 apostles, I'm sorry, the 11 apostles led by Peter, that they acted ahead of time, meaning that they should have waited for Pentecost before they ever even thought about picking a successor for Judas. So they say that they were out of the will of God in that they acted ahead of time. They were out of the will of God in that they threw the dice. They gambled to take a look at who should be the 12th apostle. When you look in your Bible, I want you to hold Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to come back there in a moment. But when you look now to Acts chapter number 1, look what happens here. Verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said... Now notice these days at chapter 1:15. These are before Pentecost comes. Pentecost doesn't come until chapter number 2. You with me there? Okay. So in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120 men and brethren. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And so he talks about how Judas, his fall fulfilled prophecy and so forth. So now, if you look at verse 20, this is still Peter speaking here, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, now watch the next phrase, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So Peter here says that he fell by transgression. His habitation is going to be desolate. There's going to be no family beyond that. But his bishopric, somebody else is to take. So now here's Peter's interpretation of that. Verse 21. Wherefore of these men which have company with us all the time that Jesus, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from among us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So Peter's interpretation of the last part of the psalm that he quotes over in Psalm 69, his bishopric let another take, is, you know, we've got to find a successor for Judas. And so what they do is they cast the lots. Look at verse 26. They gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. So they cast the lots. They choose Matthias. Matthias becomes the 12th. That's another accusation that they say. They say, see here, not only were these guys acting out of the will of God in that they didn't wait till Pentecost to pour out the Holy Spirit, but they acted in the flesh in that they were gambling. They cast forth these lots. And that this whole process was done completely and entirely on the basis of they outrunning or running ahead of the Lord. It was of their flesh, of their will. And that when the Apostle Paul says over in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. You will hear people say that Matthias was chosen by men and by man, and it was Peter and the others, and that they were out of the will of God, that Paul should have been the 12th apostle. That Paul constantly says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by men, but by the will of God. That in Paul saying that, that Paul is consistently confirming that he was supposed to be and is, by God, the 12th apostle. Now, you probably think I'm nuts for saying this, but, and friends, if I said this, I would be nuts. But that is what people say. Some of the most prominent Bible teachers in Acts 2 dispensational viewpoints, that's what they teach. Some of the most prominent Bible teachers of the last several hundred years, and even modern teachers today and everything, that's what they teach. They teach that Paul was supposed to be the 12th of the 12 apostles, that Matthias was chosen by these men acting in the flesh prior to Pentecost, casting lots, gambling, and so forth. And that Paul, by his repeated reference to that he's an apostle by the will of God, he's an apostle not of men, neither by men, that Paul, in saying those statements, is affirming that he was the 12th apostle and not Matthias. Now again, I know you know, and I hope you know enough about your Bible and Paul's ministry and what's going on in the New Testament and so forth to realize that that whole viewpoint is just rubbish. It's just, and I'll use a Bible word here, okay, it's dung is what that is. That's a bunch of dung, all right? That's a good Bible word, okay? Don't give me a hard time. I'm just quoting Scripture, all right? But that's just a bunch of rubbish, friends. The idea that Peter is acting out of the will of God here, the idea that the casting forth of lots is his gambling, the idea that they were out of the will of God by preceding Pentecost's decision, friends, that's just a bunch of bunk. You don't want to believe that for a second. You know, after all, look at a couple of things, if you would. Go with me, if you would, over to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. This is after the resurrection, just a few days after the resurrection, but obviously before the ascension of Christ, and it's certainly before Pentecost. Notice what it says here. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Friends, this is before Pentecost. Before the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the nation, which is what Pentecost was about, really. And even that, the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out upon the entire nation. But before Pentecost, before the fulfillment of Joel 2, Jesus Christ breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost right here. Isn't that interesting? That means that the apostles, Peter, the leader of the 12 apostles, had the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. Now keep that in mind. That's important. Keep that in mind. Go with me to Luke 24. Go with me to Luke chapter number 24. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, most of the events in Luke 24 occur the day of the resurrection. Some of the events later in the chapter obviously occurred much later, 40 days later. But most of the account in Luke 24 occurs the day of the resurrection. And what I want you to see, look at Luke chapter 24, verse 44. 24 and verse 44. So Luke 24, verse 44, and notice what it says. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding that they might, what? Understand the Scriptures. Friends, before Pentecost came, The Lord Jesus Christ opened the understanding of the 12 apostles to understand the Scripture. When I say 12, obviously Judas at this point is not with them any longer. But the Lord Jesus Christ opened their understanding to understand the Scripture prior to Pentecost. John 20, we just read it. He gave them the Holy Spirit prior to Pentecost. Now, go back to Acts chapter number 1. Go back to Acts chapter number 1 here. So, right after the ascension of Christ, look at Acts chapter number 1. Start with me at verse 13 now. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simeon, Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James. Now watch verse 14. Very carefully. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Listen, friends. From the time when Jesus Christ ascends to heaven, which occurred back in verse 9, 10, 11, along in there, leading right up to the events of Pentecost, these guys are continuing with one accord in prayer and supplication, the whole group of them. This decision to pick a successor for Judas was not done in the flesh. Was not these guys getting ahead of the will of God. Was not these guys being out of the will of God. Was not a carnal gambling, casting of lots type of gambling type of thing. This decision to pick a successor for Judas was made against the backdrop of the fact that Jesus Christ had opened their understanding to understand the prophetic scriptures. He had given them the Holy Spirit already prior to Pentecost. And this time was bathed in prayer and supplication and absolute unity. It says with one accord, friends. When Peter goes and makes a reference to Psalm 69 and Psalm 109, listen, if you and I did not have the written record of this in the New Testament, and you and I went back there and read Psalm 69 and Psalm 109, you and I would have no clue what it was talking about. Well, then how did Peter know what it was talking about? Because Christ opened their understanding to understand the Scriptures, and he gave them the Holy Spirit, and it was bathed in prayer and in total accord and everything. Complete unity. This group is functioning. There's at least 120 disciples here, 120 brethren and so forth, and they're functioning in total, complete unity in one accord in prayer. They're functioning like that little flock is supposed to function. And it's against that backdrop that Peter says, men and brethren, verse 16, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, and now we got something we got to do. Pentecost is just a few more days coming down the road here. We got to pick a successor for Judas before Peter knew that Pentecost was going to be approximately 10 days after the ascension of Christ, because 50 days after the resurrection and so forth. Christ was within 40 days. He ascends up in day 40, so he's got 10 more days between from that point until Pentecost. So he knew he had 10 days left. And it's in those days, in the 10 days preparing for the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, the coming of Pentecost and so forth, that's when they're pouring over the Scripture, their prayer and so forth, and they come across that Scripture and say, listen, this Scripture must needs have been fulfilled. Judas fell by transgression. His bishopric let another take. We got to pick a successor for Judas, and we've got to have that successor in place before Pentecost comes, because Pentecost is going to be the official offer of the kingdom to the nation. Peter understood exactly that that's what was going on here. So when Peter leads these disciples in the selection of a replacement for Judas, he's acting in perfect accord with the will of God. This whole group is acting in one accord, in prayer, in perfect accord with what needs to happen and what is going on at this time. And so if you will look there now at Acts chapter number 1 again, verse 21, watch the details that he says. Acts 1, and verse 21. He says, "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Now, based upon Spirit-filled, Spirit-led interpretation of Psalm 69, Psalm 109 by Peter here, God the Holy Spirit through Peter's mouth and Luke's pen records the qualifications for somebody that somebody had to have in order to even become or take over that bishopric that Judas lost. And what was the qualification? What were the qualifications? Well, it had to be somebody that accompanied with them all along, beginning from the baptism of John, he says at verse 22, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, unto the ascension of Christ. So, it had to be somebody that accompanied with them all the way from the beginning of the ministry of Christ, i.e. the baptism of John, until the very ascension of Christ. No one else would qualify. Those were the qualifications right there. And they were going to be a witness with us, with them, of his resurrection. Now, guess how many qualified? Verse 23, "And they appointed how many?" Two, right there. There were only two that qualified. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. There were only two out of the 120 that were in the entire group at this time. Verse 15 said that there were about 120 names together and so forth. And of that entire group, there were only two that even qualified to fill that bishopric that was lost by Judas and so forth. Only two. And who were they? Well, you don't see Paul anywhere. You don't see Saul anywhere. Who do you see? You see Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Those were the only two that qualified. Now watch verse 24. "And they prayed," just like they've been doing all along. Back at verse 14, look back at verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." This whole decision was totally, completely bathed in prayer and unity among the entire group. That was a very, very, a real rarity among Israel, okay? And this is not the whole nation, of course. This is a little flock here. All right, so he says this, verse 24, "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show..." Now watch the wording here very carefully. This is, "Show whither of these two thou hast chosen." See, God already knew which one he wanted to be the 12th. They just didn't know. They say, "Show whither of these two thou hast." God's decision's already been made. They just need to know which one it was. He says, "Thou which knowest the hearts of all men, show..." They're saying, "Lord, we need to know which of these two you've already selected for this thing." So it wasn't Peter selecting them at all. It was simply them asking God to reveal his decision to them. "Show whether of these two thou hast chosen," past tense, "that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." Now verse 26 says this, "And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias." Now look at the last phrase of verse 26. God the Holy Spirit has Luke say this, record this, write this down. "And he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Well, who numbered him so? Well, God did. And they simply confirmed what God revealed to them. He was numbered with the 11 apostles. Matthias clearly was God's choice. No matter what people say about it, no matter the disputes and arguments about it down through the ages and everything, saying that, well, Peter acted out of the will of God, he was in the flesh. Friends, there is no evidence of the kind at all. all of the evidence points exactly the opposite. That this decision by Peter was a decision based upon the fact that Christ opened their understanding to understand the Scriptures, that He gave them the Holy Spirit prior to Pentecost, that this decision was bathed in prayer, that Peter, because he had his eyes open now to understand the Scripture, he knew what verse, he knew what that passage meant, he knew a successor had to be found for Judas, he knew that successor had to be put in place before the official offer of the kingdom would come in Acts chapter number 2 at Pentecost and so forth. And all the indication here is, all the indicators are that this was a decision made by God, and they were simply asking God, show us which one you've chosen. And when it says, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles, that's the confirmation there. But what's this issue about they gave forth their lots? I mean, that's where a lot of the people accuse them of kind of gambling. Friends, when Israel went into the land under the leadership of Joshua, do you remember how Joshua divided up the land? Remember how he determined? God gave Joshua the borders, the outlying borders of the entire land, and then Joshua was to take and divide it up among the nation. You know how he did that? They cast lots is how they did it. The casting of the lots, friends, is nothing new in the nation of Israel. It was something done by the high priests and that type of thing. So a very, very common practice as to how God revealed His choice that He had already made, how He would reveal it to the leaders of the nation, in this case to Peter and the other apostles. So that whole issue of casting forth of lots, you don't want to get the idea from that that that's these guys gambling. It's no such thing at all. That was very common in Israel, how God revealed a decision He had already made, and He'd reveal that to them. Now I want you to look at something else. Go with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So Paul clearly is not one of the 12 apostles. Matthias was the correct choice, and Peter was not acting out of the will of God when he chose Matthias. But Paul is an apostle. He's just not one of the 12 apostles. Paul has got a separate and unique apostleship, separate and distinct from that of the 12 apostles. And by the folks at Corinth doubting Paul's apostleship, they were belittling the distinct and separate ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ had committed to His trust, and hence were belittling that message. And that's, friends, that's exactly what goes on today. People have belittled Paul's apostleship. They say, well, he's just kind of a secondary apostle. Friends, the church has failed to see and appreciate why Jesus Christ saved Saul of Tarsus anyway. Now look over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul here says, start with me at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Okay, now watch this very carefully. Paul is writing this by divine inspiration. These are the inspired words of God Himself. Okay? This is Scripture. Paul says this. So he rose again, verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Friends, that's huge. Verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So verse 8 would be Acts chapter 9. But verse 5, 6, and 7 had to occur within the 40 days after the resurrection of Christ. From the time period of the ascension of Christ until Acts chapter 9 is somewhere, it's about a year. Okay, it's approximately a year. So it was approximately a year after the resurrection and ascension of Christ that Paul actually sees him. Back to verse 5 now. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Paul excludes himself from the 12. Did you just see what he did there? Paul does not consider himself to be one of the 12 apostles. Because he's not, friends. He's got a separate apostleship. He's got a distinct, unique apostleship. He's not preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the prophetic program. He's preaching the gospel of the grace of God and the mystery program. Paul excludes himself from the 12. But there's something else interesting here, friends. When it says at verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. When was Matthias, when was it made public that Matthias was the 12th apostle? Friends, that wasn't until after the ascension of Christ. But the reference to Christ being seen in verse 5 is before the ascension of Christ. So Matthias was already considered by God to have been the 12th apostle. And as I mentioned a little bit ago, all the apostles wanted to know is, Lord, which one of these two guys did you already choose? They just needed to know which one it was. Paul excludes himself from the 12 in that verse right there. And it's evident that as far as God was concerned, he knew who the 12th was already. They just didn't know which one of the two it was. And they needed to know that. They found it out prior to Pentecost there, as recorded in Acts chapter number 1. So back to verse 9 then. I'm sorry, back to chapter number 9. We're out of time here. Let's just wrap this up, and then we have to pick up here next time, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. So when Paul says, am I not an apostle? Because that's the whole issue. That's the Corinthians were doubting his apostleship, belittling his apostleship, making him a lesser apostle, and so forth. Just like the church has done today. And he says, am I not an apostle? Well, yes, he's an apostle. It's just that he's not one of the 12 apostles. Well, then, therefore, doesn't that make him a lesser apostle? No, 1,000 times no. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles with a separate and unique apostleship from that of the 12 apostles. And that we will have to study in detail next time. So be sure to join us because, friends, this is significant. This is important. You do not want to miss this. Paul, the apostle of Gentiles, has a separate and unique apostleship from that of the 12 apostles. There was a different program and ministry and message committed to his trust as compared to that ministry and message that was committed to the trust of the 12 apostles. So something different going on with Paul's ministry. And we'll have to pick up here next time. As always, we want to open this up for questions and answers.